The renewal of the mind actually changes how you see the world, the way you perceive things, right? When a person's mind is renewed, right, he has the thoughts of God. He sees the world differently. He perceives things completely differently. Yeah, when they say there's a casting down, he doesn't see it. It's not that he's trying to confess there's a lifting up. No, he just doesn't see that there's a casting down. What he sees when he looks are opportunities. What he sees now are new possibilities that he did not see hitherto. Right? So there's no discouragement on the inside of him. His mind has been changed. We say you capture data with your eyes, but you interpret it with your mind, which means you see through your eyes, but you actually see with your mind. So you see differently. Last week I spoke about something. All right, I don't know where I went to there. I had a preacher, well, it was husband of a preacher, and he wanted to speak before his wife came to speak, just to introduce her. And he told the story of a preacher who went to preach somewhere, to teach about healthy living and eating right. And in order to communicate it effectively, he put four containers. In one of them, he poured alcohol. In the second one, he poured cigarette smoke. In the third one, he put chocolate sauce, melted chocolate that filled it. Then in the fourth one, he put natural soil, that's the earth. And then he said, I want you guys to see something. He put a worm in all the four containers, dropped one into the alcohol, dropped one cigarette smoke, dropped one there, and continued preaching. After some minutes, he looked and said, can you see what has happened now? The worm in the first one is dead. The worm in the second one is dead. The worm in the chocolate sauce is dead. The worm in the alcohol is dead. The worm here is dead. Only the worm, right, in the natural earth there is alive. So, what do you see and what's your conclusion? An elderly woman put up her hand. I see it, sir. He said, tell me what it is. He said, I can see clearly from what you have just shown us that if I drink alcohol, I smoke, and I eat chocolates, all the worms in me will die. He said, I get it. Now, what the man was trying to show was that you shouldn't take this, you will die. What she saw, because she wanted to continue what she was doing, was that this is deworming straight away. So we can show people, all right, the same things, but then in their minds, they see it differently. All right? And it has come as a result of God pouring his thoughts into you. Constantly, during that time, you meditating on the thoughts of God, right? So a person is believing God, let's say, to grow his business to a certain level. God says, all right, this is what I'm going to do, right? You pray to me, I'm going to continue to give you a stream of thoughts, right? Because what happened was that after a constant stream of strange new input, they saw scientifically that the men's brains had created enough new neural connections so that the way they saw things was now 180 degrees opposite from the normal. It took 25 to 30 days of uninterrupted, consistent input of new conscious information for the mind to accept it and to adjust to this information and to regard the information as normal. And that it is the input of this new thought that supports the realization of what you have believed God for, that moves you from a place of wishful thinking concerning that thing, high expectation concerning that thing, right, to a place where it becomes ingrained in your consciousness so that it becomes inevitable in your life. In other words, if the stream of thoughts are coming in, it will get to a point that is inevitable. That is, nothing else can happen apart from that particular thing. And what happens to the man is that once your mind changes, you start seeing things differently. So what God is saying is this. Somebody says, well, God, I'm praying for expansion. He says, I am not going to expand your business. I am going to expand you. You expand your business. You say, God, I want my business built to this point. God is not building. The mistake people make is that they pray and they are waiting for God to build the business, build the family, build the marriage. It says, I am not going to build the marriage. I am not going to build the business. You are going to build the business. I am going to build you. And I will work in you. And then you, as that person now who has been transformed and changed. So a successful Christian businessman should be the sharpest mind on the earth. Which means he has thoughts that he has. That you sit down in a meeting, you know you are dealing with somebody who has rubbed minds with the genius behind creation. You are talking about somebody who has sat and has been taught by the mind that created everything we have here. He has interacted with that mind. That mind has explained to him the formation of stars. This is Christianity, partaking of the divine nature. So he comes out, which means that a person in the marriage says, I get it now. How do you get it? Because he had just shown me why he said it's not good for man. You know, I didn't know. I just married. I just fell in love. I married. But he said, now I can see what he was saying. Do you get what we're saying? I want to get to this. Anytime you're believing God for something and it stagnates or there's pressure and there's conflict, here, what I'm going to tell you. Only one problem. Your mind has not been adjusted to the mind of the Creator concerning that thing. That's all. Instead of complaining at what's going on the outside, if you understand how to have that adjustment of your mind, which means that your spirit is in alignment, but your mind is still out of tune. Because to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Peace there means harmony. The only enemy of Christ left is death. Death there being the carnal mind. Because to be carnally minded is death. That is the only thing hindering. Let's say we get rid of the carnal mind. We understand how to do it and get rid of the carnal mind. Then we are left with spiritual mind. And that's the law of the spirit of life operating in people. And with that law operating in people, the Bible says where the spirit of the God is, there is liberty. It's the perfect law of liberty. Which means that you start living a life that has no boundaries. For one of the translations that tells us, out of the heart comes the issues of life, literally says the boundaries of life. In other words, the limits in the life of that person. All right? We'll get to this next week. Someone said, as fish are not conscious of water, so are people not conscious of what they believe. And you really never know what you believe. The only one way to know what you really believe is to look into your life. What is in your life is what you believe. What is going on in your life is what you really believe. You say, well, I don't have enough money. Because you don't believe you should have enough money. Say, pardon, I want the money, but you don't believe it. Maybe you were told when you were young, somebody put things into you. All right? So that's how you believe it. I told them first service, you will know that a lot of people believe in poverty. By reason of the success of the program, the rich also cry. All right? People sat down and watched, yeah, rich. Let me see how they are crying. You know, it's beef. They have problems. The rich also cry. Right? So God wants to change that. I'm going to close one concept there. So we begin to partake. That's why that time of pressure is the time where the adjustment, that's what it was said when God is not slack concerning his promises. He said, look, 1,000 years is like a day. God can do what you take in one day. What he's saying is that you should repent. That word repent is not a bad word. It means change your belief system. Right? So what you want to do is, first of all, as the first thing, you want the constant, because it's an input of new information that is coming into you. Because that's what you believe. Now, the Bible tells us, how does this information get into our mind? It gets into our mind by hearing. Galatians 3:2, I believe, tells us, that this only will I learn of you, Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now, what he's trying to tell him is that you receive things from God by hearing. When God gives you something, all right, you receive it from God. Okay? By hearing. That's why it says, take heed what you hear. To him that has, more will be given. So it's by hearing. So if you pray and you believe God has given you that, then the question is, what have you been hearing or listening to since you believed? Have you constantly been hearing? That's how God showing you new thoughts, why it's yours, and you are constantly allowing these thoughts as a stream of new information into your heart. Has this been going on? Right? And the way in which things get in is through your ears. That's why I said, take heed. Right? Paul said, then he went on in verse 5 and said, he that ministereth the Spirit and worketh miracles among you. How is he doing it? By the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. So a person wants some miraculous thing, he has got to constantly be listening to the fact that thing is already fulfilled in his life. For faith, we look at it when you build your confessions, you are calling into existence those things that be not as though they are. Now, you prayed for something in specific times. So the question I want to ask you, have you been hearing words in very specific terms that tells you that that thing is done in your life? I'm not talking about general terms that God will bless you, but specific terms that if, let's say you are believing God for 50 naira, in specific terms you've been hearing. Not that God blesses, but that I have this 50. Have you been hearing? Now, the only person that will make you hear your supplication answered is you. So these are confessions that must be coming out of your own lips. These are things you must be saying to your own self, because nobody else is going to give you the specifics of your life apart from you, all right, who has now the Holy Spirit reveals that you might say. So you have the responsibility to start declaring those things. Now, the question I want to ask, how many times, all right, when last did you hear what you are reaching for? Did you hear that is fulfilled in your life? When last did you hear it? Now, I want to get something. I'm going to close with this. I'll take it from here next week here, right? When last did you hear it, right, that you that every thought is brought into subjection? When last did you hear that fulfilled? Or is it something you only heard maybe last 6 months? You know, is it that somebody in this church, literally, Lekki Church, told me, she said, Pastor, what you said is correct. I said, what you said is correct. All right? She said that she just zeroed in on that one thing that was a real difficult situation, so to speak. But then she said something. She said every 30 minutes did not pass without me declaring that thing was done in my life. She said, Pastor, 30 minutes did not pass. That when I sit and I'm walking and I remember, I say it. 30 minutes, because it comes by hearing. And the Bible says, to him that hears, more shall be given. All right? So, it comes by hearing. It comes by hearing. It comes by hearing. Now, the key is this. Anytime you consciously start thinking, bring your thoughts into obedience, all right, to Christ, that particular thing is fulfilled. Now, I know what I'm talking about. It's not every time, you know, you can be doing things, you're not conscious of your thought. But anytime you become conscious of your thought, and those thoughts start drifting, this is how people start getting depressed. The thoughts start drifting into other areas. This is what he was saying. Think upon these things. Think upon these things. Think upon these things. Once your thought starts drifting away into something else that is negative, you know, and, you know, it starts affecting your faith and all of that, or you even, without consciousness, you've gotten into it and say, well, how is this thing going to happen? All right? Once you are conscious of your thoughts, if you can do this, open your mouth, because it's with your words you bring every thought in captivity. Declare that thing has been fulfilled in your life. Now, I have always known this, but when I listened to Dr. Caroline Leaf, she said something. All right, this one, I told myself, I said, well, I will say it. Right? But I knew what she's saying is right. She said, being a scientist, they have discovered, and she's a deep Christian, that people become conscious of their thoughts every 10 seconds. She said, if every 10 seconds when you are conscious of your thoughts, you will repeat what God's word says. She said, you will develop fast a habit of thought that thing is done in your life. Now, she said, it will take you, this is a labor of faith, that every 10 seconds it comes up, you declare it. Every 10 seconds it comes up, you declare it. All right? After some time, it will slow down because you are, you know, you started declaring the word of God. Until when any thought comes out of you, it's actually the thought of it being fulfilled. Do you get what I'm saying? That's where you got in captivity. It's not a thought of disobedience or unbelief, is a thought that realizes that particular thing. Sharon McPherson, who used to come and speak for us at Platform, what impressed me about her, and I started inviting her, was this. Her father was the head of the College of Bishops of the Church of Holiness in America. And the Church of Holiness is, they don't wear rings, Holiness Church. Okay? And she was the last born of seven children. All her brothers are pastors. She went into the world. She said, let me tell you why I went in. Said, even though externally they seemed to be conforming, I saw things that I realized that it looks like an outward form, but there's no reality in this thing. She said, when I went into the world, said, one day I stumbled on some information, then I realized the scripture that said, she told me this in 2 Corinthians, that pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination, and bringing every thought into obedience. Said, this is what my father's church did not know. That the way to this thing is bringing every thought into obedience. Look, and this can only be known by you and God. Are you following what I'm saying here? If I stand here, that's why the Bible says, no man knows the things of a man. That what things are thoughts of a man. That's what it means. If I stand there and I'm preaching and I'm literally thinking about eating eba this afternoon, is only known between me and God. Are you following what I'm saying? If I look up there and I see someone and I say, why is it wearing, I can be preaching and a thought can come in and I say, why is it wearing gray? You'll have worn white. Only known to me. So this is a practice here that it's you, all right, that constantly exercises yourself in it. But you do that and you get to a point where what you are believing God for is inevitable, which means it cannot be reversed. Right? Kagan spoke about somebody who used to work in his office who came to him one day and said, sir, I have a serious problem. My son is on drugs. Said, not just drugs, acid. Terrible. He said, pray. Kenneth Hagin told him. He said, I'm not going to pray. This is what you do. He said, anytime you think about that boy and you think about the consequence of his actions, reverse those thoughts with a declaration that says your son is fine, he will do well and succeed in life. He said, if you can do that every time, he said, the boy is going to change. The man came back maybe after 6 weeks. He said it was difficult at first. He said because the boy want to go out. In the past, he will struggle and say, you can't go out. Because he knew he was going to meet his friends with drugs. You can't go out. Shut the door. Fight. He said, but the day this boy got delivered, he heard him saying on the phone to his friend the kind of drugs they were going to take. And then they said it was so bad. They said, what if demons appear to us when we take them? They said, we'll cast the demons out in Jesus' name. This is son here. He said he knew that the boy was going to go and take drugs. And the boy walked in front of him and said, I'm going out to bring my friends. And he said, you can go. However, the thought, he changed it. He said it was that day that the boy took it to an extent that they thought he was dead. They dropped him on the road. And the boy came back to himself, came back home and said, it is now what? Over. Right? And the chap went to Rema Bible School and became a pastor. But it came by the practice of every time they thought about it, every time they thought about it, every time they thought about it, they brought their thoughts in subjection, all right, to Jesus Christ. So it's important, right? That's how you bring about the renewal of your mind, all right, which means it's a constant inflow. It's a constant inflow. All right, you practice and practice so that when the moment comes, you can act, all right, quickly, right? And you practice and practice so you can act quickly. But whether or not the manifestation will come is how often you as a person, there's information coming into your heart telling you that it is already done. Information coming telling you it's already done. God sending streams of thoughts to you, right? As you pray there, telling you it's already done. You've saying those things out of your lips, getting it into your system there, right? And every time you consciously think about it, you declare it. Every time it becomes inevitable, right? Gets into your consciousness and there's nothing else you can do. The same way, you know, you learned how to walk is the same way you have learned now, spiritually speaking, on how to bring those great things to pass in your life. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for your word. By the power of your spirit, I ask that you establish us in this truth and in all righteousness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening.